Moving along then, we're in Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 81, section B, page 238 of the book Esoteric Astrology. And DK is telling us about a future that we may expect as Libra becomes more powerful in the planetary horoscope and as the legal profession steps up to its true responsibility and functions in an altruistic manner. Think of it, Libra may be one of the most altruistic of the signs. The sign of the Golden Rule, where we are always thinking of the just and correct treatment of others. A sign which militates against selfishness. This doesn't mean that there are not selfish Librans. But when its true energy expression is understood and brought forward, applied, then selfishness will be greatly reduced. So I'm, thinking about the second initiation, where selfishness falls considerably. I'm thinking about this, and it tells me that Libra is important in preparing for the demise of the more selfish aspects of Mars. The weakening of Mars on behalf of others. And the emergence into a true altruism, altrui, to think of the other individual, even before one thinks of oneself, to become the true person for others, as the Christ is, the man for others. He is the representative of the Prince of Peace, of the Spirit of Peace, he is the Prince of Peace. It seems that the Christ has a strong Libran quality in his horoscope. The Masters do have horoscopes. DK has told us about the horoscopes of some. We know a little bit about it, and we suspect that in the horoscope of the Christ we will find not only Pisces, the foremost second-ray sign, but as well the sign of the blending of East and West, the sign of peace, Libra. All of these good things, all of this will come about because Libra rules the present interlude. Maybe it's, an interlude of some 500 years from the time the first Aquarian impulses were being registered around the time of Francis Bacon, all the way to the year 2117. I think he supposedly died in 1616, if he died. There is question about that. All this will come about because Libra rules the present interlude and might be regarded as the master of no man's land, as one of the masters of the wisdom called it lately. I'm reminded of the First World War and the battleground, a horrific crater-marked area between the trenches of the opposing sides was called No Man's Land. Perhaps no man could survive there in that respect. But the no man's land here talks about the uncertainty experienced, I think, in Libra. We are in an uncertain period with the overlapping energies of Pisces and Aquarius contesting. And this overlap is not easy to handle. We have such a war going on, at least on inner levels, between those who embrace cling to the old Piscean paradigm, and those who are looking for something new and better and sometimes forgetting the lessons of history as they search, looking towards Aquarius. These conflicting streams are contesting, but increasingly the power will be transferred to Aquarius and Pisces will be subdued, leaving, we are told, fading out entirely by the end of the 21st century, this our century. So this uncertainty, this transitional phase, which somewhat correlates with the esoteric rulership of Uranus, of Libra, a time in which a great transition is occurring, with much uncertainty in the reconstruction now demanded. It's confusing. And the cross currents are so many. But we have to hold true to our vision of Aquarian possibilities, and then we can persist in the face of these strong and even increasingly strong retrogressive tendencies on the eve of their demise. A study of the Bhagavad Gita and of Arjuna's problem, when he sat down, interestingly, in despair, he didn't exactly take a stand, he was in more of perhaps the meditative position, when he sat down in despair between the two opposing armies, will be found most illuminating in connection with Libra. Now there are some statements connected with the fourth ray integration formula which suggest a similar response. Alone I stand and am. I know too much. Midway I stand between the forces which oppose each other. Always in the midway position and with this isolated despair. Isolation is always a problem. Isolation from the extremes, even while trying to embrace the best points of the extremes. So isolation found here in Libra, in the fourth ray, in Vulcan. And Arjuna not knowing what to do, but having to decide. Thank goodness, counseled by Krishna, as presumably the soul nature, or maybe some overshadowing greater human being. Could it be the Krishna of recent Aryan times? Probably not. That's said to be the Christ, and we're talking about a battle that took place maybe 4 million years ago. So he sat down in despair between two opposing armies, and this will illuminate something of the Liban experience. The great battle, which is related in that ancient scripture of India, really took place in the first instance, maybe there were other battles, in mid-Atlantean days and in the sign Libra. Mid-Atlantean days. If early Atlantis was 12 million years ago, and we still have Atlanteans with us, and the Aryan civilization is only 1 million years old or so, mid-Atlantean days could have been 654 million years ago. It's amazing how the tradition has been preserved. The oral tradition probably, maybe some written, and is still influential upon us in these much later days. How slowly man evolves on this planet. Millions of years required for the lessons to really sink in. The major conflict of this present Aryan period is being waged upon a higher turn of the spiral and is under the influence of Scorpio. So I would say, you know, an indeterminate result occurred in that ancient time. The Black Lodge was somewhat defeated, but not entirely driven back. The White Lodge chose to distance itself from the objective scene, even though in a way it prevailed. It was indeterminate, uncertain conclusion. The conflict of the present age is really a life or death conflict, as Scorpio would indicate. The major conflict of this present Aryan period, at least 4 million years later, is being waged upon a higher turn of the spiral and is under the influence of Scorpio. Maybe in terms of the sign Scorpio, we might say it was a processional age which was ruled by, Libra, processional age in those ancient times ruled by Libra. Maybe great turns of the wheel, 12-fold turns, Platonic years are also ruled by a particular sign. They certainly have to be distinguished one from another. They have to have their own unique quality. They can't simply be repetitions. So you kind of wonder, in the turn of our present 25,000 years, which is in a way just beginning, because we're going to retrogress through the signs and we have many to go before we reach another age of Taurus and commence a Platonic year in the age of Aries, presumably. Perhaps our great Platonic year is particularly ruled by a quality. Maybe it's a Zodiac quality, maybe it's a Ray quality. How fascinating it would be to know and understand the signs of cycles so that the timing of the expression of energy that we give forth would be far more exact and useful in expressing the divine plan. Okay, so the conflict in the past prepared the world probationary disciple, humanity, for the path of true discipleship. So it's almost as if, and I think he basically says this, that probationary discipleship is associated with Libra and true discipleship with Scorpio. And this doesn't mean, of course, that you cannot have probationers in Scorpio and true disciples in Libra. Of course, you can. We cannot determine any particular stage of human development simply by looking at an astrological chart. We have to begin with the particular form, both gross and subtle, which is conditioned by the signs in order to know how those sign energies will be received and applied. So the probationary, we've had humanity's, in a way, probationary discipleship for a long time, in a general sense. And its truer discipleship is indicated now by the great battles which have recently unfolded and which may still be unfolding if we follow out, you know, the implications of the Armageddon consciousness, which, of course, is overwrought for so many. It's only understood in a narrow, illusory, biblical manner. In a larger manner, it can be understood in terms of the divine plan and the release of humanity towards the fifth kingdom of nature. So the battle in the present, that in the present is preparing the world disciple to take initiation, just as Scorpio ever prepares for Capricorn. I'd like to look at that, if I can do so without major complication. Yes, managed. Okay. I want to go here into Esoteric Astrology, page 333. And we see here that Scorpio stages the release of Leo, yes. And Capricorn consummates the work of Scorpio. That's the one I was looking for, right here. Capricorn consummates the work of Scorpio. So the big conflict in the present era is preparing the world disciple in Scorpio to take initiation in Capricorn, the first initiation, the birth of the Christ in the heart, which is even celebrated exoterically in Capricorn. During the vast interim, which I suppose only a master can appreciate, you know, we talk about millions of years, but even a lifetime seems long. During the vast interim between the Atlantean decisive happening, I suppose decisive because, well, let's just say that the White Lodge did win, and Arjuna did decide. A decision was made, but neither side won a completely decisive victory. There was a decisive happening. Black Lodge still persisted and grew in power in many ways, as we see in the present attack during the 20th and perhaps 21st century, and beyond, even, because the final defeat of the Black Lodge will not occur until the Day of Judgment, millions of years ahead, whether in this chain or in another. So during the vast interim between the Atlantean decisive happening and the present time, a great reorientation upon the wheel of life has taken place. So a reversal of the wheel in larger human terms has taken place. And since then, several million men have passed from Scorpio into Libra, symbolically speaking, because it may not be, you know, this is more in terms of the energy, it's not in terms of sequential incarnations. About the sequentiality of incarnations, we can study when we can actually see these things and have the horoscopes. But anyway, since then, several million men have passed from Scorpio into Libra, symbolically speaking, and there have been weighed in the balances. In other words, the decision regarding values has occurred, and they have decided. And according to their decision, so is their spiritual value. So is their spiritual weight. If they choose correctly, they have greater spiritual weight, and incorrectly, less. And there have been weighed in the balances and have afterwards refocused their desired life towards spiritual aspiration. So we find that in Scorpio, not only in Taurus, there is a keen spiritual aspiration, and it even begins, I think, in Libra. They have refocused their desire life towards spiritual aspiration and reinforced their determination to move forward, and thus have returned into Scorpio upon the reversing wheel. No, he doesn't say reversed wheel, it's reversing, because there are still many counter currents and backward pulls. Ponder on this thought, for this constitutes the real problem for the masses of intelligent men at this time. They are distinguished from the mass consciousness. They are no longer moving clockwise. They are moving against the stream, against the natural human stream, which is still so involved in its own elemental life. They are moving through spiritual aspiration towards reception of the soul energy and identification with the soul energy. And there is a rending process, and eventually they will be ejected by humanity at the fourth initiation. Cast out. And because they are cast out, it occurs to me Pluto must be active, because the initiate of the fourth degree is cast out, rejected. Then Pluto must be active at that time, for Pluto is the god of ejection, of throwing away, of casting away, of elimination, of being thrown beyond the pale and into a new kingdom. So Pluto, in this case, guides the entrance into the fifth kingdom nature. As you already know, what do we know? Well, we have a certain kind of knowledge. But as for deep experiential knowing, well, okay, that will come. As you already know, Libra is one of the four arms of the cardinal cross. How do they go? Is it initiation or creation, manifestation, legislation, initiation? Creation, Aries, manifestation, Cancer, legislation, Libra, and initiation, Capricorn. You kind of wonder at times, who are these 12 constellational lords? They are associated with each other in a group. Who were they? How did they evolve? What is their present status vis-a-vis each other at the moment? They certainly are not all equally developed, even though they are in a group. And it's a stupendous group within the energy system of the one about whom naught may be said. Our local one about whom naught may be said. As you already know, Libra is one of the four arms of the cardinal cross. This accounts for our difficulty in understanding the real nature of its influence. I mean, we certainly understand quite a bit about every one of these signs, but when DK uses a word like real, it suggests that it's a much higher function than we would normally think of, because we are not initiates of high degree who are crucified upon the cardinal cross, as Sanat Kumara is, as a Chohan would be, I suppose even as a master would be. We are not that. And so our understanding of the real nature of the cardinal cross is lacking. The significance of the energies working out into our solar system through the medium of the four arms of this cross, or from the four constellations, Aries, Libra, Capricorn, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, can be summed up in the four words. Okay, well, I didn't know this was coming, but here it is. Creation, manifestation, legislation, and initiation. One word to comprehend a vast process. Having given you these words, their very scope and meaning make it hard for you to understand. Well, Aries is the birthplace of ideas. And ideas are to come into form through thought. Manifestation suggests embodiment and requires the seventh ray. Legislation requires a balancing between tendencies, which move forward toward the plan or backward towards the conditioned world in the elemental spheres. Initiation brings freedom. Well, that's just, you know, scratching the surface, and we could each meditate upon these meanings and how they would express in our lives if we have these signs accented in some way. Certainly the cardinal cross is not emphasized the way the fixed cross is in our lives. Whether or not we have anything in fixed cross signs, we have to consider the fixed cross because we are aspiring disciples. But if we have nothing in the cardinal signs, well, we have not reached the point where the cardinal energies are directly applicable to us, at least in their highest expression. Creation, manifestation, legislation, initiation. Cosmically, they mean the activity of deity when spirit and matter are brought into a definite relationship and under divine purpose, produce that fusion of living energies which will be adequately potent in time and space to bring about, to bring that purpose to its desired consummation. What a definition! A definition of creation or Aries activity. This is what Aries does in a cosmic sense. Cosmically, the activity. So interesting about the way Aries, just like Mars, is associated with activity, even though the third ray is not apparently expressing through Aries, though who knows, the first and seventh are. I begin to think that every one of these constellations has three rays expressing, but just just as a human being can have in his three periodical vehicles two identical rays and one that's not, perhaps a constellational deity can as well and need not have three distinct rays ruling its monadic soul or personality nature. So what will be the other ray of Aries? First and seventh ray, in this world period at least, are active. So the activity of deity when spirit and matter are brought into a definite relationship, and as far as spirit and matter goes, we could be speaking of the energies of the logoic plane, and of the cosmic ethers representing spirit, and then the energies of the dense physical body of the soul of logos. That could be spirit and matter, or it could be on a much higher turn of the spiral. They mean the activity of deity when matter and spirit and matter are brought into a definite relationship and under divine purpose, that is behaving in accordance with the archetype, produce that fusion of living energies, a certain type of fusion, guided by the pattern of purpose, which will be adequately potent in time and space to bring that purpose to its desired consummation. So something is created, some configuration is created, which will bring purpose into expression and into consummation. A configuration is created which will bring purpose into expression and towards consummation eventually. This is creation or Aries activity. He's giving us cosmic definitions. They mean also, notice, you know, we're dealing with Libra, and there are many abstract issues we are discussing. Of course, we're also discussing some nitty-gritty issues about right human relations and even about the ways of raising children by attending to all of their specifically physical needs. But we go off in this chapter into large speculations. They mean also the objective of appearing, the objective appearing of the thought form which God has thus created, and in which is embodied his desire, his will, his purpose, and his plan. This is manifestation or cancer in activity. So the appearance, manifestation is the appearance of a thought form. And really all that we see around us, which appear to be concrete objects, are precipitated thoughts, not necessarily originating from man the thinker, but from some kind of thinker. They mean also, again, the working out of the plan under spiritual and natural law, which is evolutionary in expression. This is the goal of evolution and its expression, and is steadily revealing the nature of God, for the laws under which this solar system of ours is governed are expressions of God's quality and character. This is legislation. This is the one we're most interested in at this point. And I'll just underline these. This is Libra, inactivity. Inactivity. What is legislation in this cosmic sense? The working out of the plan, not just in any way, but under spiritual and natural law, which must be obeyed. These are the things that may be done and may not be done, which is evolutionary in its expression. So spiritual natural law incline the system towards evolution rather than devolution. This working out is the goal of evolution, and its expression is and is steadily revealing the nature of God, but in a specific way and within specific boundaries. Boundaries are involved wherever Saturn is involved, and Libra, as one of the major signs of the law, does create boundaries of what is right and wrong. We cannot violate, really, the law of love, at least as Libra is applied now in our solar system. If we violate the law of love, we're violating the law of karma, and we are reprimanded by the greater laws themselves. And this expression and is steadily revealing the nature of God, for the laws under which this solar system of ours is governed, so we're confining ourselves to the solar system at the present time, are expressions of God's quality and character. So we cannot deviate from expressing God's quality and character, not for long. Under time, the law will prevent it. So this is legislation determining the manner in which this working out of the plan can occur, and the decisions involved in determining whether actions taken have been in line with this plan, following spiritual and natural law, or have been deviations from. So not all things are allowed within a certain boundary, within certain confines. Certain types of action are promoted. Legislation promotes action in alignment with the law and regulates against action which is deviant from the law. God has been the legislator here, the Soter Logos as God. He has set forth certain spiritual and natural laws and the injunction that they be followed, and lesser respondents create their own types of laws in reflection of the ones set forth by the great Logos, until man himself at his own level creates laws which define the limits of what is considered correct action and incorrect action. Man's laws may be still selfishly Martian-based, but increasingly as people are spiritualized and as their consciousness is elevated, even man's legislation will reflect true methods of carrying out the plan. The end cannot justify the means. The means also must be in accordance with these laws. And the decision as to which actions are in accordance or are not in accordance, this is legislation. It tells us often what we must not do, but perhaps increasingly it will tell us what we must do to stay in alignment with spiritual and natural law, which are really expressions of God's quality and character. The laws might be entirely other in another deity's system, that other deity having different type of quality and character. But if God is to be able to express itself, God the Soter Logos, through every one of its parts, of which we are representative, then the quality and character of God must completely pervade, permeate its many expressions. And if we deviate from God's quality, which in this case is love, God is love in our solar system, a great heart center of a cosmic logos, if we deviate, then we are not expressing according to law. And we will be corrected either by the systemic laws, planetary laws, or even man-made laws, so we get back into line, as it were, and into a safe area where our actions are truly evolutionary rather than devolutionary, taking us toward the left-hand path where there is no evolutionary progress. So that's Libra and legislation, and really worth pondering. These are tremendous definitions in a very large sense, and the few things that I'm saying about them are just elementary. And finally, initiation. They mean finally the process of initiation, wherein step by step, stage by stage, there's that Saturnian gradualism again, under law, under Saturn, and through the method of gained experience, through the third ray of memory, I suppose, whilst in manifestation, the method of gained experience, the creative plan initiated by Aries is realized in consciousness. We undergo an illumination. And we, our mind, our consciousness becomes sensitive and encompassing. It becomes the mind of an initiate. It's not only what we realize in consciousness, that's an aspect of initiation, but also what we can do because of this new consciousness, what we can do with the rest of our energy system. So the unfoldment of the plan is thus carried forward. See, we're talking about the plan, I suppose in this case the solar systemic plan, because we're speaking cosmically, even though our own planetary logos is a cosmic being. Well, whichever aspect of the plan it is, whether planetary or systemic, the unfoldment of the plan is thus carried forward through a progressed series of beginnings, I guess Aries is involved, of manifestations and of consummations. The word consummation is clearly involved with Libra, but also, I suppose, with Capricorn. All relative in nature, but leading to an absolute consummation. Is that what he means by initiation, perhaps? Leading to an absolute consummation. These terms, while singular, stand for many representations, a series of beginnings, a series of manifestations, a series of consummations, all relative to the system in which they are occurring, but leading to an absolute consummation, to a great fulfillment, a peak experience in the cosmic sense, I suppose. This is initiation or activity in Capricorn, and this is on a somewhat vast All this is on a somewhat vast and incomprehensible scale as far as human understanding is concerned. It doesn't stop the Tibetan from offering us these incomprehensible, relatively incomprehensible thoughts. We, after all, have to stretch our minds, have to stretch our power of abstract thinking, have to attune with the direct revelation of intuition. So he needs to stretch us. If he's always repeating the familiar, we may become confirmed in the apparent rightness of what he says, but we won't necessarily understand more subtle things. So when we confront the abstract here, we simply have to allow it to work in us over the years as our understanding grows. And eventually our powers will slowly begin to approximate his, and we will have that kind of consciousness, that type of perception, which is characteristic of the truly liberated human being. But consciousness and understanding of the large purpose which lies behind the more exoteric intent of the unfoldment of the consciousness in this solar system, in the planet, in man, has to be grasped eventually towards the final stages of the evolutionary process. And I assume that also includes the path of initiation, because initiation too is evolutionary. So in the higher initiations, we eventually have to grasp the larger purpose which lies behind the more exoteric intent of the unfoldment of consciousness in the solar system. We are speaking here solar systemically. We are speaking of the solar logos, the macrocosm. We are speaking of the solar logos, our macrocosm. When this understanding unfolds, then man becomes an initiate, vacates his position upon the fixed cross. So this is going to occur Someone else will have to fill the position, I suppose, as nature does abhor a vacuum. So we are upholding a certain position, certain function, responsibilities upon the fixed cross, but after the third initiation, we begin to vacate our position or to dismount, vacate his position, dismounting, vacating his position upon the fixed cross, and begins the relatively slow process of mounting the cardinal cross, but not at the fourth initiation, but perhaps only later when one becomes a true master and one is liberated from the dense physical vehicle of the soul of Logos, perhaps only then can one truly take one's place upon the cardinal cross. And even the very great beings who are planetary and systemic and cosmic in nature, they are still upon the cardinal cross, so the experience on the fixed cross is tiny compared to the later experience upon the cardinal cross, which is lasting millions, even billions of years, who knows how long. All the great beings that we are speaking of, like Sanat Kumara and the soul of Logos and so forth, they're all upon the cardinal cross. It's unfathomable to us. But the fixed cross is a very short duration, just a few thousand years perhaps. Interestingly, there's an analogy there with the term of office of the Mahachohan and Manu being very lengthy relatively to the 2,500-year term of office of a bodhisattva. So the fixed cross is for the cultivation of the second ray, and the bodhisattva, compared with the Manu and the Mahachohan, is expressing the second ray. It's sort of that transition point in the hourglass, you know. The lower part under the third ray leads to a brief second ray translation into a almost endless first ray future on the cardinal cross. Then, on the cardinal cross, then he becomes a cooperator in the great creative process and purpose. He's no longer dealing with the world effects, no longer in the world of effects. He begins to create his own body of expression upon the cardinal cross. Right now, our body of expression is created for us, isn't it? We human beings, as we are now, have certainly not created our body of expression. He begins to create his own body of expression upon the cardinal cross, and the impulse of Aries begins to appear in him. Now, one early example of this is the Mayavarupa. And this is occurring, you know, after the fourth initiation and more likely after the fifth. But it is the first time we're really creating a body of manifestation, body of expression. We're really entering then into the true creative aspect of the solar logos, I guess, even the planetary logos first, solar logos next. As yet, he understands it not. He manifests consciously in the world that which he intends to carry forward. Let's see. He doesn't really understand yet the great creative process and purpose. Even the masters of the wisdom are ignorant when it comes to these great creative processes and purposes. Yet he understands it not. He manifests consciously in the world, whatever world, probably the dense physical vehicle of the solar logos and planetary logos, that which he intends to carry forward. And Cancer reveals to him its secret, presumably the secret of manifestation. Aries, the secret of creation. Cancer, the secret of manifestation. Libra, the secret of legislation. And Capricorn, the secret of initiation. He manifests consciously in the world that which he... See, right now we have unconscious manifestation. We wake up and here we have a body. That's not a conscious manifestation. although within our causal body and in cooperation with the solar angel, we may have been planning somewhat what that manifestation would be. But we're certainly not in conscious control when we awaken on the dense physical level of the solar logos with a body, which perforce we must use because we are temporarily imprisoned within it. So he manifests consciously in the world that which he intends to carry forward, and Cancer reveals to him its secret. He becomes his own legislator, you know, making decisions about behavior, about thought, about the quality of the interacting energies which are in our energy field. That's such a good perspective here. We don't need someone to legislate for us. We've been subservient to the law for a long time, and gradually, as we adhere to the plan, we're becoming the law. He becomes his own legislator, ruling his conduct wisely and controlling his impulses. There are the impulses, Saturn in Libra controlling Mars in Aries, controlling his impulses intellectually. It's the third ray sign. And then Libra enables him to balance the material and spiritual law. And when he has done all this, first of all, let's underline this, when he's done all this, he discovers himself ready to enter into a new and deeper experiment, or into new and deeper experiments, should I call them experiences, and as a participator in the divine plan, and they cooperate with the divine purpose. He then becomes his own initiator and is ready to take initiation. And there are many initiations of which we are speaking, because we're talking cosmically here, and of those who are upon the cardinal cross. So whatever high thing Capricorn means to the developing human being, it means still something higher to those who are taking their place upon the cardinal cross within a far greater creative process. So if we are to become our own legislator, we have to wisely decide about our actions, our thoughts, and their consequences, whether they are lawful, whether they are in line with the divine plan and the great law of love. And as we control and balance our various impulses, we learn to balance the great poles of our nature, spiritual and material, soul and personal. And when that balancing has occurred, we are fit and in resonance with the higher energies. And then we can enter into these deeper experiments and experiences, and we are fit now to participate in the divine plan as a cooperator in the divine purpose. Let's just say that we are sufficiently fit. And he becomes his own initiator. He initiates the state, which is that of the initiate, and being the initiate, he is ready to take initiation. We cannot become the initiate, ready to take initiation, unless we actually initiate the requisite state, that which is required. No one's going to do this for us, so we undertake our own development and initiate a program which will make of us the initiate ready to take initiation and be confirmed in the state we have created for ourselves, what we have made of ourselves. So, we become our own legislator, our own initiator, maybe our own creator and manifester. Such are the paradoxes of the spiritual life. Well, the apparent paradoxes, and we have to ponder on them, because they are only paradoxes to the lower consciousness, which cannot, as Master Moria says, contain the opposites. He asks us to contain contradiction, to contain the opposites. And when the fourth ray does its work upon us, we can indeed contain paradoxes and understand them. Going beyond the apparent contradiction into a deeper level of understanding. I mean, how can you give everything away and yet receive everything? It's an apparent paradox. To him who gives all is given. It doesn't seem that way at first. But further progress on the path and understanding of the dynamics of our systemic laws helps us understand that to give is to receive, and so forth. He who would have his life must lose it to find it. You can only find your life if you lose it. Well, there is a paradox requiring an explanation of the life you are losing and the life you are gaining. They are different. But only someone who's schooled in the science of occultism will realize that difference. So, he who would find his life must lose it. He who would live must die. He who would die must live. These are apparent contradictions only understood by the capacious consciousness. And the capacious consciousness does require much study, meditation, and living experience to be developed. So none of this can be rushed, though it can be hastened at this particular time of world crisis. So he becomes his own initiator and is thus ready to take initiation. Well, you know, we are, in a sense, identified with Sanat Kumara. Really, essentially, there's no difference. He is the initiator. And he is identified with the Soto Logos as initiator, who is identified with the Syrian Logos as initiator, who is identified, I suppose, with the Cosmic Logos and the Supercosmic Logos, and so it goes, with essences being shared. But how shall we do something that someone else is supposed to do? That's what we must understand. But who is that someone else? So, let there be a mind open to paradox and to the resolution of paradox, and when the fourth ray is active in one form or another, the resolution of paradox is perhaps easier. The fourth ray, having spent so much time in self-contradiction, knows how to overcome it. And it is a ray, we are told, when applied to the mind, which is important in Master DK's work. So such are the paradoxes of the spiritual life. But the secret of the cardinal cross is revealed only to the man who has mounted the fixed cross and gone through its fourfold experience. So this is another way of saying the old biblical statement, no man cometh to the Father except through me. No man cometh to the cardinal cross except through the fixed cross. No man cometh to the Spirit except through the soul. The fixed cross being the cross of the soul, the cardinal cross, the cross of the Spirit. If we try to skip a step, then we have a real problem. I think some of the will-driven men of the Second World War tried to skip a step and to connect Shambhala to the personality without going through the experiences of the fixed cross, or at least all the possible experiences. It is not possible to say more than what I have said. That in itself is a kind of a statement that one could certainly ponder. So he's not saying that he may not say it, he just can't say it. He's not allowed, or is our understanding so pitifully small that whatever more he would say would only cause confusion, and as much as he has said, can bring a degree of revelation. Okay. Well, we're getting there. Maybe one more paragraph. Libra is an air sign. There are three air signs in the zodiac, and their interrelation makes a most interesting study and well worth the close investigation of the student. A kind of close attention, close investigation of a subject is often found with the second ray, and the third and fifth helping. Well worth the close investigation of the student, and are, as are all the major triplicities, fire, earth, air, and water. Each of these signs is to be found in one or other of the three crosses. So now maybe he's going to get a little more into the technical astrology of Libra. Gemini, the twins on the immutable cross, expresses duality. Libra, the balances on the cardinal cross, expresses equilibrium. And Aquarius, in a way, the highest of the air signs, though on the fixed cross, expresses initiation. And Aquarius is indeed one of the initiatory signs. Sometimes we say, well, it's only Capricorn, but no, that's not correct. Aquarius is right up there with Capricorn, ruling the higher initiations. Water carrier, and here we are on the fixed cross. So there's a pervasiveness, a mutability, a connectedness with these air signs. They are not condensed. Perhaps they are the least condensed of all the elements. All the other elements seem to be more tangible, even fire. So we will move on to a consideration of the three air signs when we take up Esoteric Astrology Adventure 81C. Right now, we will sound together the great invocation in concluding the second hour of this program. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Om. Okay, friends. Good. That's the end of 81B. And we will resume fairly shortly. I always try to take just a little break between these hour-long presentations, walk around just a little bit, and try to catch my mental breath. We'll be working soon.